very important mitzvah, especially for people that are starting in yeshiva, to try to get accustomed to it if you're not already accustomed to it, is the mitzvah Shtayim Mikra V'Echad Tarvim. Try to review the parasha on a weekly basis. It's a good starter mitzvah. You want to find something reasonable to start being a little bit more careful about. And obviously it's great because when you leave yeshiva, it becomes one of the frames of your week. Sometimes it's hard to keep up, obviously, the Seder of learning in yeshiva. But Shtayim Mikra V'Echad Tarvim, weekly basis, everyone is learning it together. So how do you know that Lavan was Mekayim the mitzvah Shtayim Mikra V'Echad Tarvim? Which Rashi tells us that it's Mekayim the mitzvah? It's so important that even Lavan, if you're not Mekayim the mitzvah Shtayim Mikra V'Echad Tarvim, you're worse than Lavan. So how do we know? Because when Rivka was about to leave, so she's gathered by her parents and they want to deliver a bracha by the family. Basuel, again, according to Rashi, Basuel's no longer there. Basuel has some suspicious food poisoning. But at least Lavan and the family gather around to give her the big send-off. This is very traumatic. And I'm joking. It's very emotional. It's a very sensitive moment. Saying goodbye to your young daughter, because she's 3 years old. Don't forget your pacifier. Don't forget your rubber duck. But no, seriously, you're saying goodbye to your daughter. So what do they tell her? So they give her a bracha. Atayi le'alfei revava. V'yirash zarech eshar sanah. So I'm going to read the entire pasuk. I don't have the pasuk here. But they give her this bracha. V'yirachos rivka v'yirom v'loach. Chaseinu atayi le'alfei revava. V'yirash zarech eshar sanah. Where does that bracha come from? That's an interesting bracha. This is almost word for word of the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered to Avram at the Akedah. Harba ezarech. Atayi le'alfei revava. You have many children. V'yirash zarech eshar sanah. Literally taken from the end of Parshas Vayera. How did Lavan know about this bracha? It's word for word. It's not incidental. They're not making up words. They're taking it literally. It's cutting and pasting. They're plagiarizing the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Parshas Vayera. So of course Lavan wasn't Mavir Sedra. He's in the Chumash. But what this indicates is that at some point the story of the Akedah resonates globally. People are talking about the Akedah. Now how did that occur? Technically, it could have been that word traveled, or it could have been that Eliezer relayed the information. We don't see this on record. The script doesn't tell us that Eliezer told the Akedah, but it's likely this is something that Eliezer shared with them, and that's why they're delivering this bracha, because this is the Akedah bracha. There are many other brachos they could have shared. They could have shared the Bris Meida B'Sarim bracha. They could have shared the bracha at the beginning of Lech Lecha. But those brachos weren't delivered to Yitzchak. Yitzchak wasn't born yet, those brachos. The Akedah bracha was delivered when Yitzchak's already quite alive. Baruch Hashem is still alive with the Akedah. So this is a Yitzchak bracha. So when they're trying to read a shidduch, when they're trying to create a shidduch, Eliezer, Yitzchak, and Rivka, this is relevant information. Doesn't make a difference whether it traveled through word of mouth, not through Eliezer, or Eliezer described it to them as part of the shidduch negotiations. Either way, it's important that it resonates. The next day they wake up, they could have said anything to their daughter, and they recite this bracha because it's important. And what it demonstrates is, in a general sense, Avraham's message is beginning to spread. And people are talking about the Akedah, and the brachos that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers resonates with people outside of the limited Avraham fold. And in a specific sense of Parshas Chayesara, this whole story of Eliezer traveling to Aram Narayim isn't just for a shidduch, but it's part of spreading Avraham's ideas to a broader audience. And it starts at home with the family that he abandoned, because he had to abandon them in Parshas Lech Lecha in order to be in Eretz Yisrael and to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now he's returning to his family. The prodigal son returns to Eliezer. Avraham is too weak and infirm to return. But it's not just camels and jewelry. It's also ideas and stories of religious nature that resonate with people. And it resonates so deeply that they even are willing to say and retell and to deliver a bracha, which may be counterproductive. The first part of the bracha is you should have many children. Atayil al-fei revavah. That's great. Every parent wants their child to be fruitful, have a large family. But the second part of the bracha is v'yirash zarech eshar sanav. Your children will now inherit other people's, well, they'll conquer, they'll influence other people's politics, shar sanav. They're part of that. They're basically saying we're willing to be inherited by the Jews. We're willing to be influenced by the Jews. We're willing to realize that you're joining a special people that will ultimately cast its influence on other nations, including ourselves. So they're submitting to a system of brachos in which the Jewish people have an influential role and they'll be influenced by. So it's fascinating. They would lift this bracha from the Akedah. It resonates deeply whether Eliezer told the story or word just traveled. Equally fascinating is the second shot which Rashi delivers. The second shot is they gave a bracha which is even more sensitive than the first bracha. They said, "We hope that you're the mother of Yitzchak's children." Now, why would they fear that their daughter, Rivka, wouldn't be the mother? Because they know that Yitzchak's mother had a hard time giving birth. And it was so difficult for Sarah to give birth that at some point she had to introduce a handmaid and she had to introduce Hagar into the fold. So why would they think just because Sarah had a hard time, there's no genetics between Sarah and Rivka, they're different families. I mean, at some general point, Rivka's a daughter of Lavan, of Suel, but the genetics are very far off. So just because Rivka had Sarah had fertility issues, doesn't mean that Rivka will have fertility issues. Maybe if it was the male issue, something in the males, in Avram, and Yitzchak. But presumably they felt, as we know, that barrenness in Sefer Bereishis is not physiological or gynecological. Barrenness in Bereishis is spiritual. People that are imos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu challenges them, wounds their tefillos. When you're a barren woman, in fact, that Barbanel wants to make a claim that there really are four avos in Bereishis. Who are the four avos? Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Terach. That's a pretty hard sell, because in Yeshua we refer to Terach as an idol worshiper. So how could Terach be a quasi-av? What proof can you mount? We don't have that much information of Terach. The only proof he can deliver is that Terach had a hard time giving birth. If you trace the genealogy in the end of Noach, everyone's giving birth 60, 70 in Terach. So if Terach goes through birthing issues with his family, that shows he's of a different spiritual class. Kadosh Baruch Hu is testing him. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants his tefillos. So they're also quite aware, not just of one incident, one isolated incident in Har Moriah, but the family is also aware that this is a unique family you're entering, and part of that unique is that you face nisyonos, and you can just feel the mother, like imagine a mother whose daughter wants to marry a koilnik. So on the one hand, she's very happy. Like, my daughter's marrying someone who's going to sit and learn Torah, and on the other hand, that's going to be hard. Not going to be that much finances. So they're a little bit torn. They know that their daughter is entering a very unique family. They're excited about it, but this is what you're in for. You're in for barrenness. And so it was. And Rivka was barren for 10 years, and Yitzchak davens, and thank God, their bracha came true. Rivka was the only woman who didn't have to introduce a co-wife. Sarah has Hagar. Rachel has Leah, and ultimately Bill and Zilpah. So these worries aren't unfounded. But again, it demonstrates that they're clued in to what's happening back in Eretz Yisrael. This is not just marrying Yitzchak, but marrying a very unique family with unique brachos, with unique messages, and they resonate deeply within us, and they become our language, and they're worried that you shouldn't have trouble bearing children. Okay, so it's an interesting Rashi. Again, Lavan wasn't Mavir Sedra, but he's clearly aware of what took place at the Akedah. Okay, and so she returns, and Yitzchak is coming back from a well, when she meets him on the road and sees and witnesses him davening and is so impressed that she falls off of her camel. Again, the camels of the Chesar are all over the place, the camels. So where is Yitzchak coming from? So Yitzchak ba mibo, be'er l'chai roi. Now, what is this be'er? Who is this be'er more associated with in Parshas Lech Lecha? Who is this the be'er? Whose be'er is this? Who hangs out at that be'er? Hagar. This is where Hagar met the Malachim. So why would Yitzchak be traveling to Hagar's Be'er? Hagar's already been discharged. So Rashi says something very sweet and very stylistically interesting. Yitzchak was traveling to meet his stepmother, or his stepmother, but his co-mother, Hagar. Why? He wanted to marry Avraham. Yitzchak was asking, Ha'alach l'havi Hagar le'Avram aviv shisan, and now Sarah has died, and Avram's lonely. Yitzchak's doing all the dishes in the laundry, has a vested interest in another woman coming into the house, you know, too many frozen dinners, so he wants some fresh cooked food. But what's very sweet about it is two things. First of all, how much Yitzchak cares about Avram. This is really the only son moment we have of Yitzchak, aside from the burial. We have a lot of fatherly moments of Avram towards Yitzchak, but we don't really have a son. Chazal, there are some very beautiful moments at the Akedah of Yitzchak worrying about Avram, and Yitzchak's all bound up and tied in a golf ball in his mouth, but he's saying, Avram, Abba, who's going to take care of you? When I'm no longer here, I'm worried about Avram. We don't have it in the Psukim. Rashi creates an image of Yitzchak worrying about Avram. But what's fascinating stylistically is that while Avram's worried about Yitzchak's shidduch, Yitzchak's worried about Avram's shidduch. The whole parsha is dominated by Avram worrying about trying to find a wife for Yitzchak. And Yitzchak's oblivious to it. Ah, but don't worry. I'm still young enough. Don't be so pressured. You need a shidduch. You know, you're looking for me. I'm looking for you. Which is the cute turn about how people sometimes worry about one another. That shows common purpose. That shows a bond. So it's just fascinating that the whole parsha, Avram's so worried about Yitzchak shidduch, and Yitzchak's worried about Avram shidduch. And again, it creates, once again, very interesting read of Hagar. Hagar is not cast as a one-dimensional, black and white, oh, she's the Russia, send her off to purgatory, and cut off her mail, and, you know, unlike her on Facebook, and don't want anything to do with her. But she's still part of the saga, she's still part of the story. And according to one mamar in Chazal, Keturah really is Hagar. You know, the simple Pshat Keturah is someone else, but according to one position in Chazal, she's definitely, Hagar makes the triumphant return of Hagar. One more Rashi, I guess one more quick Rashi, is that Eliezer returns back and he wants to convince Yitzchak of what happened. But okay, but Tomer el Eved, I'm sorry, she's Vaisaper her Eved Yitzchak is kol hadvarim masher asa. So Eliezer retells Yitzchak everything that happened. I mean, everything that happened. One thing happened, he found a good wife. Or it sounds like he was writing a novel. It's kol hadvarim ma'ila. One chapter, he found the right wife. So Rashi says, Gilalo nisim shenasulo. Told him this was a supernatural journey. This Hashem was clearly there. Why? Two things happened. We all know what happened. We all know how Hashem helped Eliezer. He helped him find the one. What are the chances? The first woman who's going to feed your camels is the one. How many millions of women out there finds the one woman? But first miracle was that when he traveled to Haran, he had kfitzas haderech. Things moved very quickly, faster than they should have. Vishen is damna la rivka betfilasa. So, we don't really see this before. Rashi didn't relate this before. We don't really see that Eliezer travels so quickly. He just travels. And why is this important to Yitzchak? How fast he travels. He's a servant. He doesn't have anything better to do with his time. It's not like he's going to win the Nobel Prize for science. He's a servant. So it took you an extra day. Like, why is this important to Yitzchak? Yitzchak said, okay, get to the point. Don't tell me about where you stopped and how quickly you went, but just tell me that you found the wife. So what's interesting is that sometimes in life, we go through processes, and part of the process, it's easy to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and part of the process, it's not so easy to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the clear and blatant aspects of the process, then Hashem was also there. So the selection of Rivka would be very easy for Eliezer to believe that he was responsible, or he set a mousetrap, and he caught the right woman because he doesn't feel that way, obviously, because he's constantly mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But part of what convinces Eliezer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he clearly experiences something that's so supernatural and arriving so quickly. So both in his own processing as well as his processing to Yitzchak, the Kvitzas HaDerech is clearly on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't move. The land doesn't shrink. Waze doesn't reduce your trip by 30 days all of a sudden. Sometimes in a traffic jam and all of a sudden Waze adjusts it 5 minutes less. Normally the other way, 30 minutes more. But Waze makes 5, 10 minutes, 30 minutes adjustments. Waze doesn't change 30 days. Okay, now you can get to 30 days before you thought you'd get there. If you ever plug in on your Google Maps or Waze, how long would it take you to get from here to Utah? It's like by walking 4,000 years or something. So that doesn't really adjust it that much. Because obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu adjusting the Kvitzas HaDerech. So that was clearly Yad Hashem. Once that is Yad Hashem, then it's clear to Eliezer, and then, of course, clear to Yitzchak. Yitzchak wants to know whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actually super. How do you know? Maybe Eliezer was acting on his own, autonomously. He wasn't acting based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine selection, so of who this woman should be. So the Kvitzas HaDerech is important because it highlights that even the Bechira of Rivka. The second part that's interesting is Kvitzas HaDerech only works if you're excited about it. Namely, there are two ways we measure time. Time is measured objectively, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but it's also experientially, how we process time. So when you're excited about something, time moves. When you dread something, time stalls, right? When you're in pain. So you can move very quickly, but if it's painful for you and you're not aware of it, then there's no Kvitzas HaDerech. Because even though geographically you're moving faster, experientially. So that's why Kvitzas HaDerech is normally when Yaakov runs away from Esav, so there's a passion. He's got to run away quickly, so he wants to get there as quickly as possible. When the Meraglim go through Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what's fascinating is that Eliezer doesn't just experience Kvitzas HaDerech supernaturally, but he actually senses it himself. Why? Because when he goes there, he's very worried. Eliezer is a very worried person. You hear that in his davening. He's uncertain. He's an uncertain future. He's got answer the music when he comes back to Avram. He's a little bit worried about it. And yet, it doesn't take away from his drive and his focus. Sometimes in life, we have worries, and it's important to have worries. Worries are part of life, and how we deal with worries are part of our character. But it can't take away our focus and our drive. And very often, that's a real challenge in life, not to let worries get in the way of focus and discipline and determination. Almost learn to live with worries. Learn to be stronger and taller than worries. Sometimes worries are very crippling, and they handicap people. It's important to live with worry, accept worry, try to resolve worry, and not let it get in the way. So Eliezer has a lot of worry on his way to Haran, where they'll find the right woman, how he can report back to Avram, but it's still a Kvisa Sederach, and it wouldn't have been a Kvisa Sederach without the psychological focus. He maybe would have walked faster, but it would have been so racked with uncertainty that he wouldn't have even experienced. I think someone once told me in French, there's some French writer who actually called time experientially, not based on the clock, duration. It sounds Italian, but no, it's a French duration, something that it's the way we, duration, the way we experience time, not necessarily marked on the clock. So three interesting Rashis. Number one, love on delivering the Akedah Bracha. Rashi number two, the second part of the Rashi, worrying about Rivka's fertility, but in both cases sensing that this is a people that has a message that's supernatural and super historical, and that the daughter is joining this family with all the opportunities that it provides, the little challenges it provides. Number two, the shidduch that Yitzchak's working on for his father while his father's working on his shidduch. And number three, the kfitza sederach that Eliezer senses and retells, A, that it highlights, as kala devar ma'ila, that even Rivka's selection was a shkacha pratis. Number two, that despite his worry, he's able to appreciate the kfitza sederach. Okay. Good morning. 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 Good morning